Amen. Transform. Can somebody give me a synonym for the word transform? Change. Okay, what else? Renew. Right. Transform. When I think of transform, I think of deprogram. I think of change, like you said. Transform, reset by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because he knew that we would be thinking things that we shouldn't be thinking, or we would be believing things that are either not true, or that will plant and sow seeds of defeat or fear within us. One thing about the enemy, we know that he's a liar. So whatever he says, we should automatically know that we should not believe that. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's talk about checking your thought pattern. Thoughts lead to actions. From actions, you have results or consequences. Thoughts also lead to words. From words, you have actions, you have results and consequences. Thoughts also lead to your mood. And you have actions and results and consequences. So, talk about unproductive thoughts. All of these thoughts can lead to stagnation, or you being stuck, or you're not moving forward. Okay, so if you have a thought of sadness or hurt, the mood that it can lead to is depression. And from depression, the action is not moving forward. And the result is stagnation. Thought of offense, it can lead you to a bad attitude. And that can lead you to just 9 times out of 10, shut down. Also, well, it can lead others to do other things. Deacon Lily said, wait a minute. It can lead to some other things as well, but also lead you to shut down. And then, okay, I'm going to put a quarter right there. And that'll cause you not to really operate in the person that you are supposed to be. So if you are in a coworker or whatever, you're offended. They don't even know that they offended you, but you're offended by something. And so that just took you all the way out of here, and your offense has caused you to shut down completely on that person. You have an attitude. You have a nasty attitude all day, and you might not even, it's just you're not yourself, where you're not even talking or interacting with that person because of offense, and that can cause you to shut down, which ultimately leads you not to not being who you are, or who you're supposed to be, or what you are supposed to be walking in. Okay? So from a bad thought, fear will lead you to defeat, and your action will be controlled, or you're controlled by that fear, and the result will be you don't do anything. When you're supposed to move or act or whatever. Inadequacy. Thoughts of inadequacy can lead you to feeling inferior, powerless, and then you don't do anything. So, when you meditate or think of those type of things, it leaves you stuck. Yeah. So, productive thoughts. And then if you're stuck, imagine how your day is going to go. Then shut down your whole entire day because you stuck in depression. That's why, now, the first one I started with was sadness, and I know we go through grief. There is a healthy, something that you call a healthy grieving process. But we have to be very, very careful because that can lead us to depression if we're in an unhealthy grieving process. You with me? So, you know, the Lord wants us to grieve, you know, our loved ones, but make sure that it's healthy. Make sure that we are getting up and moving forward, you know, after the fact. Because if you know anything about depression, You don't want to get up. You don't want to wash up. You don't want to eat. You don't want to see. You don't want to put the shades up. Anybody? Am I the only one that ever? You don't want to do nothing. You don't want to talk to nobody. You don't want to turn the TV on. You just want to be in the dark with the covers over your face. You want to hear nothing, you know, and don't let the kids be crying because they about to get it. Like, that's what depression does. So don't think of things. Don't think of all of those things that I just named. Things that make you sad. Things about somebody hurting you. Don't sit and ponder or waddle in that all day. Whether it's a man, ladies, I can't believe. I mean, you done ran it down in a Greek, in a Spanish, and then cussed them out in German and French, all of that. All day long talking about this thing, that this hurt, that this person, don't even think about it. It's going to keep you stuck. Okay, productive thoughts. If you think of something funny, your mood is going to be happy. Your action is laughter. Your result is a good vibe. Just good vibe. What they say about laughter, it's good. It's medicine for your soul. Amen. We all like to watch a funny movie. I don't know about you. I love to laugh. I really love. I think I'm a comedian, you know. My part-time job. I'm going to be here all week. No. Anyway. But laughter is good for you. And it doesn't have to be biblically based all the time. I mean, you can laugh about something. You can laugh about natural things. Just as long as it's not a dirty joke. You know, we good. But it's okay to laugh. Man, look at your neighbor, just laugh at him. No, don't laugh at him. Okay, thoughts of peace. You think of something peaceful. Close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. Think of the ocean. And think of a waterfall. Chris, we got any water sounds back there? No. Think of the waterfall. And just think of like the nice green grass on a nice day. Just a blue sky. That's going to lead you, your mood to being calm. All right, y'all go open your eyes now. And your action is what? To just relax. Relaxation. And the result of that is going to be rest. You're just going to rest. So think about that. God's goodness. If you think of the goodness of Jesus, that ought to take your mood to being joyful, and then that'll cause you to begin to praise, amen? And then once you praise, the Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people, so he's going to be in your presence. So he's going to come to you. Once you begin to praise, he just comes to you. So think about God's goodness. Think about that. Think about God's love. I don't know about you, but when I think about God's love, I'm just grateful, because when I think about how many times I crucified him over and over and over again with my sins, I can't help but be grateful. And then that causes me to just worship. And that also brings the presence of the Lord. Amen? And so these are some things that we can think of. Also, what we allow, and Minister D talked about this, what we allow into our eye and our ear gates will affect our thoughts. Yeah. So you have to be in charge of that. Be the boss. You know, the kids say, you're not the boss of me. Well, be the boss of that. I can't watch this. I can't. My kids know I can't watch scary movies. I just can't. Oh, you a punk, Mom. I'm like, turn it off. I just can't. I'm sorry, I just can't. I had nightmares when I was a kid. I can't, I will not. I can't watch scary. You know yourself. It could be back to the karaoke night. When I talked to Minister D, she was like, well, you got to be very careful because somebody might hear a song and they might go back. Well, you got to know, what's your song? If it come on the radio, turn to the gospels. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, know what you cannot allow into your eye and your ear gate. We know that people wear some crazy things these days. Just close your eyes. The Bible says, shun the very appearance of evil. If it's evil to you or if it's going to cause something evil to come out of you, turn your face. You have to be in charge of that. Because why? That'll cause you to start thinking things that you shouldn't think. And, you know, if you know anything about daydreaming, you could open up your eyes and look up, and it's 3 hours later. You done daydreamed about something that you ain't had no business thinking about. What was you supposed to get in that time? What was God supposed to say to you in that time? But you allowed yourself to go that way. So this is why we have to be very careful what we watch and the conversations that we are a part of. So I want to talk about creating a box. You got to create, and this I'm talking about thoughts. All right. So we have the power to put our thoughts somewhere when they come in our mind. Because sometimes we cannot control the thoughts that come in our mind. That's why we have to be the guard of where we go, what we do, to eliminate certain things. Some things we can, I'm not going to think, I'm not going to put myself in that position. So these things over here, I don't have to worry about. So, but the other thoughts that do come into your mind, we have to create boxes to put them in. So I say, just create a good box and a bad box. And don't let them take control over you. Now, turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. And this is why I can say this, because of this scripture. Backs this up. And it says, casting down arguments or imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Captivity. Can you give me some synonyms for captivity? Lockdown, in prison, boxed in, bondage, custody. We have to grab those thoughts and put them in a box. A good box or the trash. Just throw it in the trash. Just throw it in the trash. Anything that you put in the trash, it's going out. It's out. So when the thoughts come into your mind, check them at the door. Is this godly? It says captivity to the obedience of Christ. Does it line up with the word? Is this something that God said? Or does this go along with what he said to me? So when those thoughts come, cast it down. If it goes against the word, you gotta cast it down. Just go ahead and put it in the trash. Don't even spend no time. Well, why did I think this? Well, who made me think? No. You put it in the trash. And that's how you avoid daydreaming about that kinds of stuff, that negative things. Amen. Yeah, amen. So once again, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay. Proverbs 18:21. And that scripture says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. If your words start with a thought, the same applies to your mind. Death and life is in the power of your mind, because eventually it'll lead you to speak on it. Anybody follow what I just said? So if death and life is in the power of the tongue, it can also be in your mind, because whatever you're thinking of, you will eventually speak on. Um, And you could speak, and that's even to yourself, defeat, negativity, death to yourself. Just not even, just doubting yourself, going back to inadequacy. I can't do that. Because ultimately, this is leading to you walking in your purpose. This is my whole, everything is leading to you walking in your purpose. But you have to get your mind right. You have to get your mind open and receptive to what God is saying. Some of us have to deprogram our minds. Some of us have dysfunctional minds. Some of us have been exposed to things that cause us to stifle our own progress. So we have to cast these things down. We have to do what the word says to us about renewing our minds. How do we do that? We read the word. We eat it. We put it on our walls. We teach it to our children. The other thing, I started speaking the word. It's one thing to read the word and get in your mind, but when you speak it, you hear it. Speak it out your mouth so you can actually hear it. That does something else. So, as a man thinketh, so is he. So, think about God's thoughts toward you. And speak his word over you. Jeremiah 29:11. We know it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. So if you're living in a whole bunch of confusion, you need to try to figure out why. Because God wants you to be in peace. These are the thoughts that he has. And thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end. He already know his plan. He already planned it out. And these are the thoughts that he think for us. So think about what he thinks for me. You know, when you're feeling like, this is a whole bunch of drama in my life, I don't know what's going on, think about that he wants you to have peace. Think about that. And try to figure out how you can get into that place of peace. And speak his word back to him. How about that? Lord, you said that you want me to live in peace. And you don't want me to live in evil. And you haven't expected, and you have a plan. So help me figure out why I'm not living that way right now. We can do that. And also think about what he tells us to think about in his word. Philippians 4:8. I'm almost done. Praise God. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure and of good report, think on these things. If there is any virtue, what does virtue mean? Somebody. Truth. If there's any truth in it, if there is anything praiseworthy. Does anybody got anything praiseworthy in their life? Anything that you can praise God? Can you think of one thing that you can praise God? If there is anything true and anything praiseworthy, think on these things. That's what he tells us to think of. Whatsoever things are true, accurate, right, genuine. His word is true. Whatsoever things are noble, righteous, good, God. Pure, unpolluted, untainted, God. Good report, his word, his promises. My testimony, my last victory, the testimony of my girlfriend. She just think of these things. Good report. How he came through, how he rescued somebody. Good report. Think on these things. Sometimes, though, it's the people around you that keeps you from thinking on these things. Sometimes. You got that one girlfriend that always, child, did you hear? Child, did you know? Her first name was Child, her last name, did you hear? Child, did you see? That's her cousin. Sometimes it's the people around you, and you may have to disassociate from those people. If it's always, girl, I need you, pray for me. I mean, okay, we all need prayer, but every time you get on the phone, you would be like, Lord, it's her again. I can't. I'm not going to answer. Come on. Every time, sis, like, you need to stay on your knees a little longer or something. Because why, Jesus? That's going to bring you down. So drama or negativity or just talking about somebody, you know, you might have to disassociate from that person or them people. Eleanor Roosevelt quoted, I'm going to quote her. She said, great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. So take that with you. I'm going to say it again. I quote, great minds discuss ideals. Average minds discuss events. And small minds discuss people. Ideas is going to lead to a manifestation of something great. I mean, it could lead otherwise, but if we're walking in the spirit and we're actually listening to God and he's giving us ideas that we can talk to our trustworthy friends about, then that person going to be like, child, what about that idea? Are you working on that? You know, it's going to lead to something great. But if you spend time just talking about people, that's unproductive. What is that? You know, that turns into gossip, you know, and that just... it's a waste of time, and you're trying to get to destiny. You're trying to live on purpose. You know, that's you can't spend time doing that. So we have to understand that the mind is the battleground. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The mind is the battleground. The enemy plays on our mind. This is where we do most of our fighting and our warfare against the enemy. And sometimes it's not just the enemy, is the inner me. It's your flesh. You know, you got to constantly talk to it and cast down these things that your flesh want to think about. The enemy's job is to fill us up with lust. And lust is just not a sexual thing. Lust of the flesh is just what you want. That's lust. It's not, we often think about lust as being sexual immorality. Nope, it's what the flesh wants. That could be overeating. That could be being friends with somebody that we shouldn't be friends with. That could be going out to places we have no business going out to. But so that is the constant battle. He wants to fill us up with lust. The mind controls the body. And the enemy is already jealous of us. He's already jealous of us in our position. So he tries to play these mind games with us that we often fall for. I'm just going to make it plain. He plays these mind games. Like I told you last week, he already knows what we like. So he's going to throw it in our face and we fall for it. We have to train our minds just like a boxer trains to fight. Just like Minister D was talking about her husband training to do this run. That everybody's running and nobody know why they running. But he had to train himself. We have to train ourselves and train our minds. And know that our opponent is on his job. He's on his job, y'all. And we letting them win. I heard that, I know you probably heard, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. You heard that before? But if we fail to train ourselves, we train ourselves to fail. We are going to be trained to fail if we don't train our minds and deprogram and allow God to renew our minds. We train ourselves to fail. You know what that means? We train our kids to fail. They train their kids to fail. And we're just going to be a defeated nation. We can't let the enemy win. Not when we got all of this good stuff right here. Guess whose fault it is? It's ours. This is a sword. This is a sword. When I was preparing for this, I looked at my bookshelf. I was like, look at all of this wisdom in my bookshelf that I ain't picked up in 15 years. All this power right here. It's all in here. If we lost, I mean, this is a cheat sheet. You know, it's an open book test. How you gonna get an F on an open book test? That's horrible. That's embarrassing, saints. So if we fail to train ourselves, we train ourselves to fail. If we fail to change, we change to fail. We change ourselves to failure. It's just going to be a failure. So I'm challenging you to train your mind and to think of the things that we talked about, those things that are true, and to not allow your mind to think unproductive thoughts, hurt, depression, defeat, inadequacy. God said you're more than a conqueror, so why are you thinking that you can't do it? I dealt with fear for years. I mean, I turned 40 years old and 2 years ago now, and got the courage to do what God was telling me to do, which is to move out and being a recording artist. There has never been anything that I've desired to do. I just wanted to play the organ, teach the choirs, write songs. That's it. And look what I'm doing now. But anyway, that's all I wanted to do. But I couldn't sleep. And my kids and everybody know I love to sleep. Okay? So I had to be obedient. But fear was choking me. And because we live in Philadelphia, and you know I'm connected to everybody musical in Philadelphia, I see all these people, all this talent, all this. My sister sing her face. So let's start with my sister first. Sing her face off, okay? I tell them when I show up, okay, if you wanted Trina Furby, you better call her because I'm not going to do all that. She's the Tina Turner of gospel. She's going kick a foot, all that stuff. I'm like, Lord, why are you telling me to do this? Fear, 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 fear. But he gave me the courage to actually do it. Why? Because he said, I told you to do it. You can be the best you that you can, that anybody else can be. If we open up our minds and realize that you have a nation to affect, you have a neighborhood to change, you have a world to impact. It's not just, oh, well, they can do it better, so why did you choose me? No. God needs you. Somebody's not going to have a job because you don't start that business. Some young person is going to make the same mistakes that you made that you still have scars from right now. The things that you still hurt, the bad decisions that you made that you're still hurt about. That you replay that day over and over again in your mind and wish that you can change it. Because you won't speak to them and God told you to. Or because you won't rise up and do what he called you to do. Amen. So I'm going to, and I'm just about done. Let me look at the time. Is this okay? Is this what you're doing right? Okay. I'm gonna tell you, I was just so nervous. I tell everybody all the time, I was ordained and licensed back in 2000, and I could sing and play in front of thousands of people. But when it comes to preaching and teaching, oh my goodness, I just be a nervous wreck. So it took a lot for me to volunteer to do 1 week. Yet here I am. To God be the glory. Lord have mercy. And Deacon Lily said, yep, he set you up. You said 1 week. He said, that's not what I said. Okay. All right, I'm going to read an excerpt from my bishop, which is T.D. Jakes, in the book Destiny. And it says, have you considered whether your mind is open and free to explore the path that God has set for you? Or are you going through life like your brain is chained, locking in creativity and ideas? Free your mind and you will create a mental and spiritual environment for greatness. I want to stop right there because I wanted to talk about worship in your mind. You limit yourself when you are not mentally present, when the presence of the Lord is here. You limit what you get. You limit your own self. If God is moving in this house and flowing through here like a mighty rushing wind, and your mind is on what you're going to cook tonight, you are going to miss it. And that thing that he would have shaved off of you that you've been carrying for 15 years, you missed it because you wasn't mentally here. Not only that, you fight against the music ministry when you're not mentally here. Has nothing to do with you talking to somebody, you staring at whatever. If you're just not mentally present, that causes us not to be on one accord. So when we are in worship, and it's time to lift our hands, and you're just sitting there like, I like those shoes she got on. That hinders the power that God can pour out in this place. Something that simple. When it's time to worship, when it's time to praise, we all should be doing it. Because we all got something to praise and worship God for. Amen. Our ultimate goal is for God to come in this place. Because only God can do things that we can't. Only God can change some things. Only God can tear down strongholds. Only God can set captives free. Only God can cause that unforgiveness in your heart to fall off. Only God can change a stony heart. And if we want it, we need to lift our hands and show God that we want it in that time of praise and worship. Because he's going to be like, oh, I'm going to give it to her. Oh, over here. Oh, George always get it. He get it for all y'all. He get it for all y'all. Because that's my man. I look forward to seeing Deacon George. Because I know if nobody else going to be with me, he going to be with me. Because he want it. He want it. That's how we all should be. Imagine what we can get from God. This man of God has grown in God since I first saw him, because he comes ready, yo. He want it. He anticipate what God's going to give him. That's how you gotta be. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel like my pastor. That's how you gotta be. Lord, I need something from you, and I'm desperate, and I'm gonna praise you, Jesus. I'm gonna give it up to you today because I want it. Not only do I want it, I know I need it. I got this whole week to get through. So, God, I'm giving you all this praise. I'm giving you all this worship. I'm cashing in my praise and my worship so I can receive something from you. God don't owe you nothing. We owe him praise. We owe him worship. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We owe him. We're backed up, y'all, in our praise and our worship. We backed up. Oh, God. We forgot to tell him thank you for things that he did in 1998. We're backed up. We got to give it to him, y'all. Hallelujah. We all got things that we need God to do. You got to give him your praise and your worship. That is so important. It's so important during praise and worship. It can determine how the service can go. Oh, my God. And we don't have to work so hard. If you enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise like his word told you to, we wouldn't have to work so hard. Okay? All right. Can we give God praise? Just clap. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you. So I'm going to just leave you with these scriptures. And fill up on these scriptures and speak them over your life. And like I said, put them on your refrigerator. Put them on your garage. Put them in the bathroom. Set your minds on things above. That's Colossians 3 and 2. You can just jot down the location. Colossians 3 and 2. Set your minds on things above. Romans 8 and 31, you're more than a conqueror. He's called us to be the head and not the tail. That's Deuteronomy 28 and 13. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's Isaiah 54 and 17. Make sure you say these scriptures. Make sure you read these scriptures. Make sure you're teaching these scriptures to your children. Make sure you're sharing these scriptures with your friends just so you can be renewed and transformed so that you can receive what God has for you to the fullest and so that you can become and walk on and live on purpose and become who he called you to be. So let's stand to our feet. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. I hope that it was something that blessed you that I said. I believe that I gave you what God told me to speak. Can we just worship and praise him and just give him glory and give him honor? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to your name, God. We glorify you. We lift you up, God. We want our minds to be renewed. We want our minds to be transformed, God. God, we stand ready, God, for you to just change our minds. We open up our minds. We open up ourselves, God, so that you can come in and do what you have to do in us, God. Some of us are dealing with hurt. Some of us are dealing with dysfunctions that we can't get past, God. Some of us are dealing with depression that we can't get it out of our minds. Some of us have been through traumatic situations that we've seen that we can't get the visions out of our minds, God. We're asking you, God, to transform and change our minds, God. You said if we ask that you, then we shall receive, God. And so we stand, God, for you to just do the work in us, God. We want it, God. We want your word. We want more, God. We want to go higher. We want to get past these things. And we thank you in advance of what you're going to do. We thank you for your word that tells us what to do, how to live. We give you glory. We give you honor. We bless your name. Come on and glorify him. We magnify you. We honor you. We appreciate you. Hallelujah. 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 Help us not to be in the way of our blessings. Oh God, help our minds not to get in the way of our blessings, God, but we want to receive from you. And we thank you, God, and we glory in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Clap your hands and bless.